about Revelation 13. We've done this in two Sundays, the last two. I want to read it all today. And I plan today to bring a little bit of a summary on this very important chapter in Revelation of what is to come in regard to the beasts. Verse 1, Revelation 13. The dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" There was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs. So he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. It was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom: let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you tell us these things not to scare us, but to comfort us, not to make us panic, but to make us calm. Seeing this as those churches in Revelation 2 and 3 would see these letters and this prophecy, would be comforted. The fiery trials they were going through, they would see has an end. They would see that they could rest and be sure of their salvation, that it would not be taken from them. I pray, Lord, we would have that always, and that the world would also take the message of the warning that is here. Everyone seems in this world to know about the beast and the mark of the beast. I pray it would be more than just an idle piece of knowledge, but, Lord, an actual warning that is received. Pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have, as I said, September being upon us. We are now coming closer to another season. I've really looked forward this year to fall. And cooler weather. Would you look forward to that? And we have that. And we have certain expectations. We knew it was going to be hot in the summer. And it was. We know when it's supposed to be colder. We hope for snow every few years in Orangeburg. But we figure that's going to be in the wintertime. We don't look for it in August. Because of the seasons of the year. Leaves fall in the fall, the autumn. In the spring, things burst forth. And so we have seasons, and we expect changes, and certain things happen in certain seasons. Well, in the same way, the Bible uses seasons to speak of things in the world that change. For example, the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy, to be ready in season and out of season. Had nothing to do with spring, summer, winter, or fall. It had to do with the world's acceptance or rejection of the gospel. Sometimes the world is more open to the gospel. That's when it's in season. But then most of the time, it seems, these days, they're not. It's out of season. Sometimes the Bible's been received and appreciated. Other times it's not. And the meaning then is that the servant of God is to treat the Bible as always in season. It is always in season with God to preach the Word. It may not be in season with the world. But whether it is or not, we're to preach the Word. I wish, really, that churches knew about that. Because churches, to get big these days, have readily given up the Bible because people don't want it. People aren't interested in the Bible. They want other things. So churches today, to grow, to be bigger, cater to what people want, and people don't want the Bible. The biggest churches in America, mostly, not all, mostly will have minimized the Bible so people don't get offended by it. And they made entertainment so people will be attracted to that. And they've minimized and even eliminated, in many cases, the Bible so that the churches can grow because people will not come for the Bible. But they will come for other things. And then they may slide the Bible in there a little bit, but don't count on that either. They've really violated this command of Paul to Timothy. But just as we expect changes in seasons, we expect cooler weather to come as we approach fall, the Bible says things will get worse. The seasons of the world will get colder and harder to the gospel. In the last days, perilous times will come. We're in the last days. And the question then regarding the Antichrist, people have, is, are we living in the season in which the Antichrist will come? Is this the season of the world where the Antichrist and all the accompanying things that we see will happen? We can't really say that. But we can ask this question, whether it could be this season of the world. Could this time be the time the Antichrist arises? Or another way to put it, do we see anything in the world right now that would hinder the coming of the Antichrist, besides the Holy Spirit? I mean, things we see. Is there anything we see that we would say, oh yeah, that's not really ready for the Antichrist? These beasts in Revelation 13 are part of the devil's 1-2 punch in the last days, because the devil has always wanted to run the world and be worshipped by everybody in the world, and including Jesus, remember when he came. And so the season of the Antichrist, as Revelation 13 tells us, is 42 months, 3.5 years. And it occurs at the end of this age, because it ends when Jesus comes. So we know that these 3.5 years, that is the power and authority the Antichrist has, is at the end. So when the Antichrist arises, we know we're at the end. We don't know he's risen yet. We don't see him yet. I believe there's probably going to be a time when the Antichrist is in the world but not manifest as the Antichrist, based on his nature and what he does. Daniel says, tells us, the Lord told Daniel, 6 things would happen, the threes, really, Daniel 9:24. That God was going to finish with Israel in 70 weeks of years, which would accomplish 2 things. First, it would deal with sin. In order for Israel to be a righteous nation, in order for us to be saved, we have to have sin dealt with. We can't just ignore it. Daniel says the first 3 things, that in this time God will finish transgression, make an end of sin, and make atonement for iniquity. That happened when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead. Those first 3 things in Daniel 9:24, God has done in Christ. Then he says, this is the next thing in those 70 weeks. Bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Now there's mystery in that to some degree. But bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy sounds like something more that Jesus will bring you to second coming. We do not have everlasting righteousness on earth. Vision and prophecy is prophesied that Israel would be saved. They're not saved yet. There's not been an anointing of the most holy. Where some say that's the temple. I don't believe it's the temple. The temple's down. That's an old covenant thing. But something like putting in place holiness. Maybe the magnification of the Lord Jesus. That's a second coming thing. Israel will be saved. Righteousness will be lived out, just as God has promised. So that is to come. It's prophesied. And the 70th week then, of which half of this is the great authority of the Antichrist, will be at the end. It'd be a separate thing from the 69 which went to Jesus. I'll leave you to read all that again if you want to. The devil then, in Revelation 13, rolls out 2 beasts in his final act of warfare against the Lord's plan and glory. The first beast is a political guy. He rises out of the sea, and you see the animals, the horns, all that's from Daniel, the leopard, the bear, all of that is symbolism of what Daniel shows us about the rise of nations. So the devil is the king of the nations of the world. And he uses the nations to oppose God. Every nation. Show me or tell me about a nation that is righteous, that is bringing its citizens to Christ. I don't know of one. There are some that are not as bad. Our nation's one of the top most wicked nations in the world. And we've had probably more light than most of the nations of the gospel. Nations are run by the devil. And this first beast is a political leader who rises from that that world system. The second beast is a religious guy. Oh, we're safe now. The religious guy shows up. Well, he's a dragon at heart. He speaks the words of the dragon. The dragon is the one driving it. The religious leader doesn't have people worship God. They have people worship the first beast, the political guy. And the dragon is the one driving the whole thing, forming the unholy trinity. And the whole world, we're told, will fall for this. The whole world. Except those who are redeemed, whose name is written in the book of life. And the mark of the beast, 666. The Bible tells us what it is. Verse 18, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. We're not told what the name of the beast is. We're told what this number is. And the number is, to me, you got three sevens, would be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all God. That would be perfection. The unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, that 666, that falls short of God. That is not divine. It's the number of a man. So, I mean, whether you call him Silly Putty or Mickey Mouse or Daffy Duck or whatever, the name itself shows he's a man. The number shows he's a man. So that he's not God. He's all this power. He's not God. He never will be. Which is an encouragement. So that's the emergence of the beast. But then the season of the beast when they come to power. Do we have any signs of that today? That the world is ready for the Antichrist. And really, this is something the world laughs off. The rise of the Antichrist. Hollywood makes movies about that, just for entertainment. Not serious. 666 is a very popular thing. People put on their cars and tattoo on them and all that. It's not taken as a threat. Christians have always, in their times, seen the times they live in to be ripe for the rise of the Antichrist. I believe that's sound thinking. Because really, every age, we could see this happening because of the evil of the age. John, in his epistle, said that there were Antichrists in his day. He said in 1 John 2:18, there are many Antichrists. That the Antichrist is in the world. Those who are false have false doctrine. Who oppose Christ are not the Antichrist who is to come, but are Antichrists. So it's not a hard stretch to think of the Antichrist coming when there are Antichrists today. And plenty of them. The world's always been under the power of the evil one. There's not been a time in world history where the devil has not had the power of the world on his side because we fell in the garden and gave that over to the devil. But there are some indicators in our day I think that would fit well with the devil's plan as we see it here in Revelation 13. I'll list a few of them and not all the ones I listed in my notes. First is the world is seeking a political solution to all the world's problems. This could be the saddest reality of them all. That in order for the problems of our world to be fixed, people are looking to politicians. Elected officials or appointed officials or kings. That they would fix things. The Bible in Genesis tells us about the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was when after the flood, the people came together and said, let's not split up. Let's stay together and form a city and we'll just do anything we want to. And they built a city that was rising to the heavens. And the Lord saw it and didn't like it because it would enable them in their rebellion to extend that rebellion in whatever way they chose. And that is the world system. And the world system is pursuing as much ungodliness as it possibly can get, because it's run by the devil. That's the devil's big desire. We see that in Scripture all the time. In the garden and in the wilderness, when he tempted Jesus, the devil wants to take over. So the world system is the devil's big tool. And the beast and the Antichrist are, the beast and the Antichrist are the same beast, the same person, and this is in them a political solution. Here comes someone who is a great politician. Someone who can get things done in politics, which we know how hard that is. And so when the world has a problem, who do they turn to? Not the Lord. We had shooting yesterday in Texas. And it doesn't take, you know, the shell casings of the bullets are still rolling on the ground before somebody comes out and says, we have got to get rid of all these guns. It is always, when is Congress going to do something? No more pathetic thing could ever be said in all of history than that. Climate change. When is the Congress going to do something? Poverty. What law can we make? The Democratic candidates are running for president on the basis of the fact that they'll just give everybody money. Talk about buying a vote. Racism. Health care. The government ought to do something about it. Where is Ronald Reagan when we need him? As he said, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. And with the rise of the Antichrist, government's going to be more the problem. But what's the world going to do? Great, we finally got somebody to get things done. Oh, we know, all we need is a new president, a new senator, new congressman. Then everything will be fine. In history, the way Julius Caesar came to power was the people were afraid that the empire was about to be destroyed from outside. And they wanted someone who was an emperor to get this thing settled. And not have to go through all the other stuff. So they chose Caesar as the emperor. And once he was the emperor, he never left power until Rome fell. Various Caesars. This is what will happen in the future. People get scared about things, whether they should be or not, and they'll look to the government and the Antichrist to fix it. I saw, really sad, kids are being dragged into this. Some 16-year-old from Sweden took a racing yacht over here to keep from flying a plane over for global warming. Of course, all the people in the boat flew back to Sweden that were on it with her. Adults are scaring children to death to become climate activists. I often think when I see kids spouting out stuff that they have no idea what they're saying. Where are their parents? These kids need parents. They're being given a nervous breakdown, and they're not even 15. They're being robbed of all their childhood joys. You remember when we were kids, those of us who were older, and we were out on a summer day, and the sun was shining, and it was nice and warm, and we looked at each other and we said, you know, I'm really worried about what carbon's doing to the planet. Do you remember that? No, I don't either. But today, you got kids that can't rest, they can't be happy, they can't enjoy life because their elders have pushed them forward as human shields to stop climate change or anything else they've been used for. The 16-year-old from Sweden I mentioned, she's skipping. She went skipping school every Friday. That was her first thing she did. She skipped school every Friday to protest climate change. Well, I bet the climate looked at that and said, "Well, we got to do something." And now she's calling every child in all the schools to skip school every Friday in protest until Congress does something. She, by the way, has taken a sabbatical from school for a year to do her activism. Why didn't we think of this when we were in school? Man, they parrot facts they don't have any idea about. They've been told. They talk about this is happening in the world, that's happening, and they're panicked and they're upset, and they've been made scared by a really stupid thing. But what they want is government action. Hold your breath until it all gets fixed. The Antichrist already has even the kids waiting for him to show up. And parents have groomed their children for the Antichrist to come, and he's going to say, "I'm going to fix this climate thing." Boom. Or anything else that's hot at the time. Secondly, there's Antichrist bias firmly in place in the world right now. The Antichrist, when he comes, we're told, he openly defies God. He blasphemes God. He claims to be God. And in this world right now, we have the world can't have the gospel, Christ's law, Christ's morality, the uniqueness of Christ being the only one way to heaven, his holidays, his word. Prayers are discouraged because Congress needs to do something. Prayers don't matter. Congress matters. In Quebec, I saw Quebec youth, you know, they let a bunch of Muslims in, and now the youth in the schools are becoming Muslims without believing in Allah. They're just practicing the things Muslims do. It's copy that. And that would be not allowed if it was Christ. And the world is more open than ever about its hatred for Christ. And religion is another thing, the third thing. Religion's already ready for the false prophet. If God exists, which we know he does, there can only be one true religion, and the gods of the nations are idols, as the Bible says. But billions of people already worship false gods. And the typical church member wouldn't know a Bible verse if it smacked them in the mouth. They're uneducated and ignorant about the Bible. And their dedication to Christ, weak, conditional. And when the Antichrist arises, these make believers will fall away, and that's the falling away, the great apostasy that happens. Because they're not tied on to it anyway. And the first time someone says, "boo," they're gone. Imagine this kind of diet. You're going to go on a diet. Well, we all love diets. And we come out with a strong statement. "I'm going to diet until I get hungry. Then I'll stop." That's not a diet. The professors of Christ in many churches, I'll be with Christ until there's a price, and then I'm gone. Because they're not connected anyway. Technology is the fourth thing. Technology has already made connectivity to all parts of the world and surveillance or anything else they want to do with it a common way of life. And it's possible to kill remotely by drones. And this is another indication, anything good and helpful that could be useful, and technology is very useful. I'm all for technology, but people always twist it to bad ways. Google is using you. Facebook is using you. It's always turned to a bad way. They can't wait. They cannot just let it be good. But technology has already made possible what we see in Revelation 13 that the false prophet does. An image that talks. Alexa. We already have it. Drones that kill. We have that. This is not hard to even imagine in our day. And then there's the human factor. That's the last one I'll mention. The human factor is always the killer. If it wasn't for humans, all these other things we would probably say wouldn't be so potent. But humans being proud and confident and enlightened in their own minds are described in Scripture as blind, deaf, lame, unfeeling, and dead. They do not rise to the level of their own opinion of themselves. And the unregenerate are asleep and living in darkness. They are not woke as much as they think they are. I found that a lot of times kids, if I pull a Rubik's Cube out and start to work it, which I do usually at doctor's office, but sometimes if just out somewhere, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, they see that thing and they see me working it, they know how to do it. Can I try it? They know how to do it. I'll put one little thing out. I'll put one thing out of place. And come back 5 minutes later, and it looks like a tossed salad. They've looked completely. Because although they think, they can't. Now, some maybe could. The world thinks that they're that capable. Humans are naturally gullible. You know, humans would go out to the forest, cut a tree down, take some for firewood, and then make a stump into a god and worship it. That's humans. That is gullibility. You never see animals doing that. You ever go out and see animals in the woods falling down before a tree? No. And worshiping it? No. That's a human thing. And we're the smart ones. Groupthink. Someone says something in California, by the end of the week, it's in India. And then everybody accepts it as true because it's groupthink. It's like living in a bubble. You know, it's like being told the boogeyman is under the bed. If you get out of bed after you put the bed, the boogeyman will get you. And okay. So you believe it. Groupthink, evolution, already swept the world. Climate change, sweeping the world. The thing about it doesn't matter what God, you just sweeping the world. It doesn't take long. People think in groups. They think in herds. Look how quickly the world has left two genders to 112. I told you, one service, someone has numbered 112 genders. And then they had a list at the bottom they didn't know what to call. So really it's more like 200. Give them to Christmas, it'll be 12,000. And people still believe in their gullibility. They still believe politicians when they make promises. After all these years, that's how gullible people are. And a gullible person will welcome the Antichrist with open arms. Because humans gravitate toward conformity and the praise of others. And as long as we agree, you got to agree with the climate danger. You got to agree with the new morality. It's not enough if immoral people, according to the Bible, want to be immoral. They've got to have our support and approval. We can't say, do your own thing. We don't care. They want us to care. And if you don't care, you're a criminal. Or if you don't believe the mass hysteria, you're a criminal. You should be arrested. That's what that 16-year-old wants done to people who deny the climate thing, is to have the polluters held accountable. Thank you. Go back to Sweden. How do we get over this? We can't stop the rise of the Antichrist. If a nation knows another nation is coming at it to attack it, they burn down the bridges. They cripple the ability of the enemy to take root in their country. They hinder as much as they can the advancement of the enemy. They don't go, well, they're coming. We have nothing we can do. They spring into action. It's inevitable. What we see here in Revelation, it's going to happen. When Argentina, back in the 80s, I think it was, they took the Falkland Islands from Great Britain. It's just a matter of time for Britain to get down there, take it back. That's what's happened. On the very day men fell, the devil's aspirations were shot down. He was already told that his head's going to get crushed. So what do we do? It's not inevitable, although it's inevitable that the Antichrist will arise, it's not inevitable that he'll have us in the end. The game is still on. When the game's over, the score is settled. But when the game is still going on, we have a chance to win, and the people in the world have a chance to win by coming to Christ. Revelation 101 is that Christians will be safe at the throne of God. Revelation 102 is that if you tie your wagon to the dragon, you're going down. There's no clear facts in Revelation. Revelation is not a confusing book. Those facts are very clear. So Revelation is a warning. Why do we see sometimes when we're driving a sign that says the road is closed or the bridge is out? What is the purpose of that? Is it to make a person floor it and go as hard as they can and bust through that sign wide open? No. The plan is to get you not to do that. To keep you from that. Why are we told about the beast, the Antichrist, the dragon, the rise of evil in the end, the fact that we need to be tied to Christ, so that we will not fall to the devil's trap when it comes? To not do it. Not to do it. Not to fear the devil, but to not fear the devil by coming to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, you do not have to tell us any of this. You don't have to tell us any of it. We don't have to be told, warned, or anything. We don't have to have the gospel offered to us. We don't have to have your mercy given to us. We don't have to be told that we can have victory in Christ, because Christ did not even have to come. But Lord, you've told us. You've warned us. You've given us a future of the devil, and the future of all who follow him, and the future of all who follow Christ. Because you're a merciful and kind and gracious God who loves to save. We thank you and pray that that would be, in every way we know it will be, but in our own lives, in the people we know, that this would be a great thing we see. You redeeming men and women, and boys and girls, we pray. In Jesus' name.